Welcome to Local Talk on KHOI Community Radio, where we explore people, stories, and events in Central Iowa. I'm Paul Hertz, one of your hosts for today, together with my co-host Ron Carson, who also happens to be KHOI's webmaster. Hello, Ron, and hello to you, our listener.
Good morning. This is a somewhat new venture for both of us here to be hosting Local Talk, though we've come to rely on you to get recordings of Local Talk on the website, so we should have some fun here today.
Yes, we have come to rely on you, Ron, and we are already having some fun here.
Yeah, we are, yeah. Here, this is my line. Hello, Paul, and hello to you, the listener. And we've got, as I previously said, we've got something really special here on our show today. We've got live music from some fine young musicians from the Iowa School of Jazz. Their performances of jazz standards will be interspersed with some discussion by the band members and their founder and director, Al Biella, of Ames Music Studios. Later in the show, we'll be telling you more about the Iowa School of Jazz and also the Iowa School of Rock. But before we dive into that, we've got a couple of reports from Local Talk reporters. The first is from Vrad Dawadi, reporting on a House meeting here in Ames where presidential candidate Martin O'Malley met with a large crowd on Sunday, June 28th. There were brief showers that afternoon, and it's fortunate that they stopped in time for O'Malley to meet the crowd in the backyard, I believe, of the former city attorney John Klaus's house. There are far too many people there for them to have fit in the house. Well, that's a house party.
Yes, let's hear that report now.
About 120 people gathered in an Ames backyard Sunday, June 28, to hear former Maryland Governor Martin O'Malley tell why he should be their next president. O'Malley served as both mayor of Baltimore and governor of Maryland and says he has more practical experience than other presidential hopefuls.
I am the only candidate in this race for president in the Democratic side of the field who can say that I have had 15 years of executive experience. I have fearless progressive values. I am unapologetic about them.
O'Malley announced his bid for the Democratic Party's presidential nomination May 30th. Since then, he has been campaigning throughout Iowa. Last Sunday, he spoke at house parties in Sioux City and Carroll. His Ames hosts were Carolyn and John Claus. In remarks lasting about 20 minutes, O'Malley praised President Obama for all he's accomplished, but says there is still much to do to improve the economy. O'Malley focused his remarks on the economic challenges facing the nation and what needs to be done about them.
One of the biggest problems we face right now is an economy that's working not so very well for great numbers of our people. Over the arc of the last 30 years, we have pursued the false trickle-down economic, whose basic theories were concentrate wealth in the hands of the few, remove regulation from everywhere you can, and keep wages low so we can be more competitive, whatever the heck that means. We know that the way an economy works is not that way. What that way has given us is not prosperity and not opportunity. It gave us one of the biggest and most prolonged recessions in our country's history since the Great Depression. A financial collapse after reckless speculation on Wall Street when regulation was removed and millions of people lost their homes and millions of people lost their jobs. That's not the way our country is supposed to work. That's not the way our economy is supposed to work. And that is not the American dream. Our economy, in other words, is not money. Our economy is people. It's all of our people.
In his remarks, he mentioned trade unions, regulations on banks, social security, and investment policies as factors which can help create a strong economic environment.
We have to return to our true selves and do the things that we used to do routinely across party lines, like raising the minimum wage so that it always stays above the poverty line, paying overtime pay for overtime work, making it easier and not harder for people to join unions and bargain collectively. Passing policies that are good for the inclusion of women in our workforce and our economy, because policies and programs that are good for women and families are also good for economic growth and good for our economy. And we also have to step up and do that which only our federal government can do. And that is to protect us from reckless speculation on Wall Street. If a bank's too big to fail without wrecking our economy, then it's too damn big. And it needs to be broken up. It's not too much for us as Americans to expect that our government will protect us from the sort of rank speculation that Glass-Steagall protected us from for those 70 years. We need to reinstate it and do the things that work. We also need to expand Social Security, not undermine it, not cut it. And we need to also make the investments in our country that we can only make ourselves. Look, I love public-private partnership. I love clever ideas for how we finance things. Only we can make the investments in educating our people at higher and better level. Only we can make the investments in a modern infrastructure.
O'Malley also talked about policies he implemented in Maryland and the reasons he thinks those policies work.
And I have been able to get things done in one of the most challenged cities in America at a time when we have become the most violent city in America. We turned that around. People together to improve police and community relations. And as governor, I brought forward that what John referenced, that new way of governing, measuring performance, using GIS and modern technology to see whether we're doing better this week than we were last week. We worked in collaboration with our labor unions to solve problems, to deliver better services, to get things done. And at the state, through a bitter and long recession, while other states tried to cut their way to prosperity, we decided to do more for education rather than less. We made our public schools the number one public schools in America, according to Education Week magazine, 5 years in a row. We were able to pass comprehensive gun safety legislation in our state following the Newtown Massacre and saved a lot of lives. We were able to repeal the death penalty, not the first time we tried, not the second time we tried, but by never giving up and by being persistent, we repealed the death penalty in Maryland as well. We believe in doing things that work. And we also were the first state to pass a living wage. We raised the minimum wage. A couple of our counties even raised the minimum wage up to $12.80 an hour because we understand that the more workers earn, the more money they have to spend, and the better customers businesses have, and the more our economy grows. And along the way, in practicing the politics of inclusion, the economics of inclusion, we also were able to pass marriage equality. We passed the DREAM Act. We passed the bill so that new American immigrants could get driver's licenses and obey the rules of the road as they took care of their family. In other words, we brought people together around the most important beliefs we share, a belief in the dignity of every individual and a belief in our own responsibility to advance the common good we share.
Martin O'Malley is one of the five major candidates from the Democratic Party currently in the presidential race for 2016. For KHOI Radio, this is Varad Devte.
And this is Local Talk on KHOI Community Radio. I'm Paul Hertz, one of your hosts, and we just heard from Varad Devte about the meeting that presidential candidate and former Maryland Governor Martin O'Malley had with voters here in Ames. And now, before we get to a live performance by the Iowa School of Jazz, we've got a recorded interview that Kay Puttock had with Mary LaHaye of Iowa Friends of Companion Animals. In June last year, Kay hosted a show about puppy mills, and she follows up with that subject in this interview with Mary LaHaye.
I'm talking to Mary LaHaye, who's the president of the Iowa Friends of Companion Animals. And they've got an important meeting coming up soon, which we'll be talking about briefly. Welcome, Mary.
Thank you.
Now, this meeting, it's at the public library in Boone. It's called the Erickson Public Library. Monday, July the 6th at 6:30, right?
Correct.
Uh-huh. And what's exactly the subject of your meeting?
Well, we'll be talking about the puppy mill issue in Iowa and what we've been doing to address that issue. And in particular, this will be a meeting to bring people together who would be interested in helping us move forward on our work as we progress here.
Mm-hmm. So people that actually want to work on this issue with you
Yes.
should come to that meeting in Boone. That's at on July the 6th at 6:30
yes.
at the public library. Now, would you tell us a bit about the puppy mill issue in the past and the present, and if there's any progress being made?
Sure. Well, I first learned about the problem back in 2008. Little did I know that it had been going on for many, many years. We've had these large-scale USDA-licensed commercial dog breeders in our state for many, many years. Back in 2008, we had over 400 of these licensees in the state. I don't have a very accurate count on the numbers of dogs that they kept at that time, but what I do know is that based on inspection reports that we obtained for the years 2008-2009, that large numbers of these breeders were being cited for violations to the Animal Welfare Act, but it didn't appear that there were any sort of repercussions.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what we started working on, was to address that, and along with Animal Rescue League here in Des Moines, who has been working on this issue also for many, many years, they had a bill in the Capitol back in 2009 that we joined ranks with them on promoting, and that bill passed in 2010, and a result of that bill, which what that bill did was allowed our Department of Agriculture here in Iowa to inspect these USDA licensees if they got a complaint about them.
Mine.
That's what the law allowed. And once that bill passed, we saw large numbers of these breeders make a decision to get out of the business even before anybody had a chance.
So before this bill, who inspected them?
The USDA has always inspected them. They have, they are licensed and inspected by the USDA. But as you would probably expect, this is not a high priority for the USDA.
Right.
They're a food safety organization.
Right.
You know, that's a big job. And this, oversight of these commercial dog breeding facilities is just not real high on their priority list. So it's not.
And you're just talking about the licensed people, whether they violate it or not. There's also a lot of unlicensed
breeders. There are, but these large-scale breeders, in order for a breeder to sell puppies through a pet store, which is what the vast majority of these USDA licensees do, they sell the puppies to a broker who then sells the puppies to a pet store. In order for them to do that, they are required to be USDA licensed, and since they're being sold through pet stores, they can pump out as many puppies as possible, and they're going to be able to sell those puppies. So these are the folks that have the huge numbers of dogs. We have
right.
breeders with 400, 500,
right.
one breeder with over 1,500 dogs. So the unlicensed breeders, while there's no doubt there's a problem there, we have not delved into that. We've got a significant issue with these licensed breeders,
right.
and we need to take care of this first.
Okay, so you hope to make legislative changes?
Yes. Yes, that law that passed back in 2010 says that the Iowa Department of Agriculture can inspect if they get a complaint. Well, that isn't quite working the way that we had hoped it would, because quite frankly, no one ever gets into these places to be able to make a complaint. And so we want the Iowa Department of Agriculture to inspect these USDA licensees on a routine basis. Most states do this already. Iowa, of the top four dog breeding states, Iowa is the only state that does not already do this. So we just need to get with the program here.
Right. Right. Yeah, you say no one gets in there. I think I mentioned before that I, just as a reporter for the radio, went to one of these facilities, and I had quite a bit of trouble persuading him to let me see his where he had kept the largest number of dogs.
Mm-hmm.
And the only reason he wouldn't let me see, I think, was simply because he had such huge numbers there.
Yeah.
That he couldn't possibly give them a sort of normal life.
Yes, they
weren't neglected in the sense that they were heated and cooled facilities, and they were clean as far as I could see.
Mm-hmm.
But they were incredibly, I mean, there were just too many of them.
Yeah, you know, and those animals aren't being socialized.
Right.
And they're being inbred. Nobody is checking for genetic anomalies being passed on to the puppies. And so that's a huge issue in and of itself,
right.
the consumer protection aspect of this. But, you know, one thing at a time. We'll get this. We'll just keep on working on this until mm-hmm. it's fixed.
The irony of this, it seems, is that these facilities exist because people think they love dogs. If people didn't love dogs, there wouldn't be puppy mills.
Right, right.
So if people would just be a little more aware of what's going on.
Yeah, yeah. And that's one of our goals also, is just to educate the general public. But, of course, we're limited by our resources. And we can preach to Iowans until we're blue in the face as to where they get their puppies. But the fact of the matter is that the vast majority of these puppies are exported all over the country. And we just can't get to all of those people.
Right.
But we'll keep trying.
Okay. So let's just remind people again about the meeting. And if they want to become involved but they can't get to the meeting, how they can contact you. And we will put this up on our website, too. So would you like to tell people those things again?
Sure. We're meeting this coming Monday, July 6th at the Boone Library. It's called the Erickson Library. And our meeting will start at 6:30 p.m. and will last approximately an hour. If you can't make it to that meeting but you want to get involved, you can either contact me directly at mlahay@iafriends.org or visit our website, iafriends.org, and click on the Take Action tab, and that registers you for our emails, and we'll keep you posted on what we're working on. And we're on Facebook, too, Iowa Voters for Companion Animals. That's our sister lobbying organization. They have a Facebook page.
Okay, so that's Mary LaHaye of Iowa Friends of Companion Animals. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Bye.
If you just tuned in, that was an interview telling about an upcoming meeting about puppy mills here in Iowa. If you're interested, you'll be able to find the details about the meeting on our website, hopefully. This is Local Talk on KHOI Community Radio. I'm Ron Carson, one of your hosts, together with my co-host, Paul Hertz. And now, Paul, we've reached that time to introduce the guests, our live guests here outside the studio, outside the mothership. We're here, and we're going to hear some live music.
Yes, we are. It is my great pleasure to introduce Al Biella, the founder of the Iowa School of Rock and Ames Music Studios. Hello, Al, and welcome to Local Talk.
Thanks. Good morning. We are excited to be here this morning. My whole crew is early as it is.
And could you tell our listeners who your whole crew this morning is?
Okay. So we have the quartet version of our Iowa School of Jazz band with us today. So we've got Dominic McDonald on drums, Noah Heinrich on guitar, Julie Manahar on piano and vocals, and I'm going to play bass.
It's the express version.
Yeah.
We've
got a couple of horn players, but it being summer and all and vacations and stuff like that.
Kids and vacations.
Yeah. So we actually did a brief performance at the Ames Music Studios student concert in the middle of June here over at the Octagon.
Octagon,
and we played with the horn players there, and we haven't seen a whole lot of them since then. I don't know if they're in the Caribbean or...
Maybe they're playing on a cruise ship.
There you go.
So the Iowa School of Rock, Iowa School of Jazz, what is it?
Okay, well, the Iowa School of Rock is something... We're actually on our lucky 13th session of the Iowa School of Rock this summer, and it's happened in various forms, and we've been letting it morph a little bit lately, but the core program for a while now has been a two-week summer camp. So we take kids, basically, usually it's age 10 through high school, although we've had adult bands, so we've had kids of all ages participate in this. We form bands, enlist them into bands, and then we rehearse those bands every day for 2 weeks, take the weekend off. And then we've been doing a couple concerts at Zeke's, and we'll be doing a couple concerts at Zeke's here pretty soon.
When is that?
That is the Friday and Saturday, the 10th and 11th of July at 7:30 p.m. out there at Zeke's.
That's a week away.
I know. We are in the middle. So besides the fact that it's early this morning, I'm also smack in the middle of the Iowa School of Rock session. So, you know, pretty much with some things going on around the edges, rehearsing four or five bands a day and just gearing up for the – not just for the show, but for everything. You know, the bands all – they develop a band identity. We really put them through the paces of how do you promote a concert. It's like a crash course because we do it in 2 weeks, promoting a concert, making media contacts. Don't be surprised if you hear from some people about this.
Media.
And, yeah, media, exactly. You know, it's kind of like us being here this morning. So we just kind of put them through the paces of if you're going to have a rock band, here's some tools that you could use. You have to figure out how to promote your band. You've got to figure out how to get people to your concert and just, you know, step out of your comfort zone a little bit and make sure you're letting people know that this is what you're doing and, you know, get some impetus behind it. So that and we also started doing some semester-long bands who meet on a weekly basis, and that's what the Iowa School of Jazz group is about, too. We've been doing this the spring semester, playing together. And we've got a rock band up here named that's been doing the spring semester also. And they have landed themselves a gig at 8035. They're doing a 45-minute set down there on Saturday
45
afternoon.
45 minutes.
I know. They get a full set.
Don't you usually do just three songs at the School of Rock?
Well, we've been ramping that up a little bit as we go along. Even the two-week bands, some of these kids have been doing School of Rock with us for a while, so we can kind of step up the pace a little bit, and bands are doing four or five songs even at the concert. It took a while to put the set together. The 45-minute set is more of a challenge for the band, and just it's not just a matter of having 45 minutes of music, but we've got to turn this into a tight presentation, and there's a lot of logistics to that when you're on stage, having a plan to segue from one song to the next, keep the energy level up without, you know, dead space between songs, and how you're going to present on stage besides just getting your chords right and stuff like that. There's a whole other level that we're shooting for with all the bands. We're trying to put on a show as well as, you know, get them playing the music right.
And no dead air.
And, yeah, thank you. We like to stay away from that dead air. It's
So do we.
Yeah.
I think it's about time for some music.
Yeah.
Awesome.
And
that's what we came to do.
And we at the KHOI Studios don't have room in our Studio A itself for the jazz band. This is actually a historic moment now. This is the first time we have a live remote broadcast.
It is live remote. It's
from the next room over.
Yeah, from the mothership to the EVA module.
And I believe Al is now in position to play bass. And we're
he
going
will
to
be.
Okay.
I
believed it, and that belief was wrong. And we're going to be hearing a tune made quite famous on Dave Brubeck's Time Out album. This is Take Five by saxophonist Paul Desmond.
Thank you.
the Iowa School of Jazz performing Take Five by Paul Desmond, live on KHOI Community Radio. You're listening to Local Talk, where we explore the people, stories, and events of Central Iowa.
We're going to take 5 minutes and talk to the band.
Fantastic.
Well, we're back with Al Biella, the director of the Iowa School of Jazz. You have both a jazz and a rock background.
Yes, I certainly do. And it kind of goes, it's kind of going the way it has always gone. The rock and roll thing was my bread and butter for quite a while when I was a little bit younger man than I am now. And a lot of it was a tremendous amount of fun, and I had some very interesting rock gigs as I review that scene. But there were always side projects, and they tended to lean in a jazz or a jazz rock direction. And so I've got that same kind of balance going on now. We've been doing this Iowa School of Rock, and I've been mulling this idea of we ought to have some kind of a jazz group.
It's mutation.
Yeah, it's transmogrifying here. And what happened is I've got these kids who can do this. I started seeing this possibility turn into a reality, you know, thanks to these students of ours here who are really the ones helping make it happen. Way to go, guys.
I noticed they appeared to be listening to each other. Is that something you typically encounter at School of Rock?
Well, it's a little more difficult in the general rock environment to it's just not as conducive. The idea of space can be very terrifying to a musician, leaving any space. It's like, no, we must fill up all space.
Fill all the holes.
All the entire frequency spectrum and get the decibel level packed in there really good and have lots of events happening every moment of the way. And so it's a little more challenging there.
Not as much breathing.
We really want this music to breathe. It's just part of its nature. But really, all that could and should be happening in rock music, too. I mean, you'd rather, when you see a really dynamic rock band that's literally simply using dynamics, you might look at another rock band. They're all playing the right notes. Both bands are playing the right notes. Why is this band so much more interesting to listen to than the other one? It's because maybe they just simply have some places where they change their decibel level a little bit. It could be as simple as that. And so we really try to foster this kind of thing in the School of Rock as well because it's again, part of the presentation.
Drama.
It really can bring an amazing amount of drama into the situation to leave space. It really can catch the listener's attention. You know, sometimes in a rock band, sometimes sort of groping for a way to get some dynamics in it, I might tell somebody, you know, if nothing else, if you actually stop playing for a little while during the song, and then you come back in. Okay, you've created a whole new dynamic just by having an on and off switch on what you're doing. And it doesn't have to be even as nuanced as playing with dynamics. It could just be, I'm going to lay out here for a little while, and when I come back in, I'm going to make an entrance. And that's, like you say, drama. You bet.
Indeed.
The good kind of drama.
It is, right. And I think it's time for the young musicians of the Iowa School of Rock to make their entrance.
All right, fantastic.
We have Julie up now. Hi, Julie.
Hi.
Could you tell our listeners a little bit about yourself and how you got involved with the Iowa School of Jazz?
Well, I'm 14 years old, and I got interested in jazz music last year. I started out by playing Miles Davis songs, and then I realized I really liked it. So then I continued this year. So in 2014, I was doing jazz again, and then I really like it because it's like a creative outlet for me. So I enjoy playing with them. They're awesome.
Indeed, and it's a great opportunity for you to do both your piano and your voice at the same time.
Yeah, I was trying to always bring those two together, and I think jazz is a great way to do that.
And where do you see yourself going next, or further off in the future?
Well, in college, I really want to pursue like a science, like a parallel track of performing arts and science, because I'm good at academics, but I have like a love for performing arts, so I definitely want to pursue this.
Well, best wishes to you, and thanks, Julie.
Thank you.
And we now have Noah up.
Yeah.
Hi, Noah.
Hi.
And you play guitar in the band.
Yes.
And how long have you been playing jazz guitar?
That is a difficult question. I suppose I started getting interested in jazz when my dad introduced me to Take Five, which is what we just played. And, well, when I heard it, I'm like, wow, this is really, really good. So then I kind of, like, you know, got interested in the in jazz and listened to other stuff, broadened my horizons in that area. And, yeah, it's something I really enjoy now.
Yeah. Do you play rock guitar?
Oh, yeah, yeah. I actually preferred rock for a very long time. But now I think jazz and blues and other stuff is pretty much a tie with that now, and I enjoy it thoroughly.
Now, what draws you to jazz?
I don't know. I guess it's just sort of the more subtlety to it that rock just doesn't have. It's just smoother and more casual in a way. That sort of sound. I don't know how to describe it. It's, you know, it's something that I can't seem to describe very well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, music is like that. Now we also have Dominique, the drummer of the Iowa School of Jazz.
Hello.
Hi. And can you tell our listeners about yourself?
Well, I've been playing drums around 8 years now, and I just started getting into jazz a couple years ago when I first tried out for the school jazz band. I just really enjoyed how intricate mostly all jazz drummers were. I really aspired to be as good as them. So I started listening to a lot of jazz songs and started learning a lot.
Mm-hmm. Are there some particular drummers you really try to gain some insights from?
Probably my favorite one is be like Max Roach. Tons of wonderful songs he's done.
Where do you see yourself going with this?
Well, I'd like to stay in this jazz band and maybe even get more, because I plan on pursuing music.
It's great. And as Al was saying earlier, you guys have been together for a semester now, and you're going to be continuing into the next year, I gather. I think we're about ready for another song.
Okay.
Yep. We're going to be hearing a song by jazz pianist Chick Corea. The song is Spain. I'm going to hold on for a few moments while our musicians get back into position. And you are listening to KHOI Community Radio, 89.1 FM, Story City Ames. And Chick Corea is coming up in just a moment.
Thank you.
That was Spain by Chick Corea. Black Crow by Joni Mitchell is starting right now.
There's a crow flying, black and ragged, tree to tree. He's black as the highway that's leading me. Now he's diving down to pick up on something shiny. I feel like that black crow in a blue sky. Took a ferry to the highway, then I drove to a pontoon plane. Took a plane to a taxi, then a taxi to a train. I've been traveling so long, I will never gonna know my home. When I see you again, I'm like that black crow up there climbing in the sky. Bathroom light. Looked at the window.
the Iowa School of Jazz performing Black Crow by Joni Mitchell. Before that was Spain by Chick Corea. Thanks to Al Biella and the Iowa School of Jazz for coming in today. And we've got one last thing on Local Talk today, Belinda Merritt's calendar of music events.
Hello, this is Belinda Merritt, and I have the live music for July 3rd through the 9th. On Friday, July 3rd, Code Blue will be at Snooze Hill Winery, 2183 320th Street, Madrid, from 6:30 until 9:30 p.m. The Workshy and Mumfords will be at DG's Tap House, 125 Main Street. On Saturday, July 4th, the Burning Sensations will be at the Slater 4th of July Celebration Beer Tent from 8 until 12 p.m. On Sunday, July 5th, Hot Tamale and the Red Hots will be at Snooze Hill Winery, 2183 320th Street, Madrid, from 2 until 5 p.m. The Jason Danielson Jazz Quartet will be at Roosevelt School Summer Sundays, 912 9th Street, from 7 until 8:30 p.m. On Thursday, July 9th, Gloriana and Casey Musicman will be at Firefly Country Nights to be held in downtown Ames at 4 o'clock p.m. Tickets are available at amesfirefly.com. And that's all I have for this week. Thank you.
That's it for Local Talk. I'm Ron Carson here with Paul Hertz. We've been talking to Al Biella, the director, owner of Ames Music Studios, co-owner, Iowa School of Jazz, and the founder of the Iowa School of Rock. We've also been listening to some great music from Al and these fine young musicians, Julie Michelle Manahar, Noah Heinrich, and Dominic McDonald. They played Take Five by Paul Desmond, Spain by Chick Corea, and Black Crow we just heard from Joni Mitchell.
We also heard a report from KHOI reporter Virad Dawati about the visit to Ames of presidential candidate Martin O'Malley, and we heard an interview that Kay Puttick had with Mary LaHaye of the Iowa Friends of Companion Animals.
Our theme song is Backtracking by Tom Richards and Al Harris from their CD, The Ballad of Kate Shelley, and I hear it right now. Local Talk is a radio production training workshop as well as a radio show. If you'd like to join our team as a reporter, contact us at 292-2878 or contact us through our website, khoifm.org. If you enjoyed this show, tell your friends and check us out on Facebook. You can also listen to the show and all our past Local Talk shows online at our website, khoifm.org. That's khoifm.org. You can find today's show on our homepage as soon as I get it up there.
And KHOI is now streaming live online at khoifm.org, where you can also find archives of KHOI shows. Please remember that you, as listener, are the most important part of Local Talk. Your participation as an audience and your generous donations help make it all possible. Thank you for listening, and we'll see you again on the radio.